good to be in the Lord's house today, and we're so glad that you're here, whether you're a member or a visitor. We're happy to have you here in the Lord's house. We pray that you'll receive a blessing. It's good to be back. Had a good time at homecoming last week down in Siler City. Saw some people I hadn't seen in some years, and saw some that had been friends for almost 60 years. I told them, I said, I preached the first homecoming that I preached there 59 years ago. Which must mean I'm getting old. I can't think of the only other answer. And it's nice to be here in a nice, cool building with it so hot outside. And while Brenda was playing, I had a thought. Got a text yesterday from a young lady. Anyway, she's younger than me, and she's complaining that her air conditioning was broken. And I thought about texting back, well, why don't you get up and go to church in the morning? It'll be cool there. Because her church attendance is sporadic at best. She's always got something that, some excuse. But anyway, I thought, well, I won't be unkind and tell her that. But I remember, you know, as a kid growing up, West Albemarle Baptist was one of the first churches that had air conditioning. And I love to go to church, especially on Sunday night, on those days when it was about 100. And they blew out right up like over these two doors. And so if you sat in a certain place, it was cooler than others. And the folks that didn't really like the air conditioning, they would sit where it wasn't as cool. But I wanted one of the coolest spots I could get. But it's good to be in God's house and worship the Lord and fellowship together. I'm so glad that you're here. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in your house. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. Father, we thank you for Brother Jim and the message that he preached last week. We pray your blessing upon him. We pray now your blessings upon this service, Lord. You know the needs of each one of us. You know our hearts, our situations. We pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would touch, would guide, would direct, that in all that we do would be pleasing to you. Lord, you're welcome here. You're welcome, welcome, welcome. Speak to our hearts, Lord. But more than you just speaking to our hearts, may we worship you. May we honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. Good morning to everyone. Good to see you all. And it's funny that you were talking about the air conditioning, and you know, I guess one would, and the heat that we're having, but we had a nice visitor in our class this morning, and she did exactly what you said. She is a member of the Taylor House, and Miss Furr, right here. This is Mr. Malin Furr's, Pastor Malin Furr's widow, and she did exactly what you said. She came to hear the air conditioning is broken at Taylor House, right, Miss Furr? So she's here in the air conditioning. So that's wonderful to know. It's good to have you. Hope you don't mind me sharing that story. So good to have you. So good to have everyone with us this morning. As we do each and every Sunday morning, we always sing a hymn from the good old hymnal that we've got. And this morning is no exception to that. If you would, please, let's all stand and sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine,
remain standing for prayer, please. You may be seated. If you would, please, let's stand for the doxology. Said before, it's so good to see you this morning. And if you are a visitor with us this morning, you are indeed our special guest. I want to share some announcements with you at this time. And today it will be no evening services here today, or no other meetings. But now next Wednesday night we will have our Bible study. We come on, our pastor is still conducting the study of Acts, so come and be with us. I love that book, and I love the study. Saturday, Brother Jeff, could be another work day if possible.
There will be another work day. We're going to start at 8. Now, some of us are going to show up here a little earlier because we got to do some outside stuff. But thank you to all those that showed up yesterday. A ton of work done. If you hadn't noticed, there's windows in the classroom back here. We got some more windows coming. I hope we finish that up. We're going to be putting some speed bumps up in the parking lot so that the kids are a little safer. Some signs. We've got one more place to put up back here around the tanks. There'll be several things to do, plus there'll be some painting back there.
Okay, something I could do, right?
Yeah, if you're good with a brush, come. We can take care of it. But thank you to those who showed up yesterday. I'm telling you, it was a lot of work done.
I'm sorry I could not make it. Don and I were down in Charleston, and if it'll make you feel any better, it was 101 in the shade down there, and I was absolutely miserable. So, so keep that in mind. Not all the time was I miserable. When you got outside, you felt it very, very much so. But anyway, again, thank you for everybody, your hard work, and we'll go again for next Saturday then, Brother Jeff, okay. Next Sunday will be Father's Day, and we have a lot of things going on, but now remember, there'll be no evening meetings with the youth and or the adults on Father's Day, so that will be off. So take that off your message here. Take it off the bulletin. No meetings, okay. Vacation Bible School, and it's going to be here before you can turn around really good. June the 26th to 27th. Anybody got anything you want to add to that at this point? Only thing I would say, if you hadn't signed up yet,
we're happy to have as many volunteers as possible. So
okay.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be somewhere. You could even find me somewhere for me to do. All right. Anybody? Okay. Do it. If you hadn't done it, please come. and be part of it. Okay. And that's all I have to add. Anybody have anything you want to add this morning? All right. That being the case, let's go now to our prayer time. I had a few that I've added at Sunday school. Let's remember, Brother Jim has a praise report, and Brother Jim, you've had some good news from your doctors, and
Absolutely. And
we thank God. No surgery.
No surgery.
And your voice is still good.
Well, it's not as good today as it has been all week.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, you're going to be fine. Let's remember the Stoney Hatley family, and Ronnie Dry battling cancer. And the Taylor House, you've been asked to remember the Taylor House. They're having some problems with air conditioning and some other issues. So let's keep that place in our hearts and our minds. We used to go there and every Sunday and try to help out with the services. And I know you people have a wonderful, wonderful place. And they'll get everything corrected. But let's pray for the Taylor's House that everything will be back in order. All right. Any other prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am. Rosina. Is that the Behringer, did you say?
Bobby Behringer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Kevin Honeycutt is having surgery this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that the one that was a tire store?
He's the one that did the olive oil.
Yeah. All right, let's remember Kevin Honeycutt. Are there others? I'm so thankful, though, that we still take the time to do this. It's so important that we go to the Lord in prayer. I think God expects us to come to Him with our petitions, don't you? He expects us to do that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for another opportunity You've given us to be in Your house. We thank You, Lord, for those that are here. We asked a special blessing upon them. And our lesson has taught us this morning where much is given, much can be received. And we're all here today, Lord, searching for and hoping for and praying for blessings from You. Lord, let us be ready for that blessing. But then, Lord, there are those that we've been asked, Lord, this morning to bring before You in our petitions to You. So, Lord, we pray, and we pray, Lord, for the Bobby Behringer family. We praise You for Brother Jim's report with no surgery and his voice. Lord, we lift up the Stoney Hatley family to You, Lord, this morning as they have lost a loved one. Ronnie Dry, who is battling cancer, Lord, we pray, Lord, that if it be Your precious will, that You would touch his body and just restore his health. Then, Lord, we pray for the Taylor House this morning. We lift that house up to You. And for all those who are members there and tenants there, that's their home. And, Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that the problems that they're having, Lord, will be small ones and short ones. And we thank You for that house. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon Pastor Ed. We're glad to have him back with us this morning. We thank You for the traveling mercy You extended to him, and we thank You, Lord, for him being here. Now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, Lord, we're so thankful for You and Your blessings to us. Lead and guide and direct throughout, Lord, we pray. These blessings I ask in Your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to go. I'll ask you to sing now. We're going to sing a song. It's going to be on the board. Here I am to worship. Well, and that's what we're here for. Children, you're dismissed.
Energy. If I started running across there, I'd probably fall right on top of my head. This morning, I want to share something, and it has the potential to really bless you if you listen closely and then apply it. Start off with this illustration. If you go home today and laying there on your front porch, there's the biggest copperhead or rattlesnake you've ever seen, or maybe a bobcat or a wild hog or some other dangerous animal. What are you going to do? You going to ignore it? You going to try to pet it? You going to try to relocate it? Or are you going to get your gun and kill it? Now me, I'm going around the back door, go around to the back door, go and get my gun, and I'm coming back and I'm doing warfare. Now, there's some of you that may be a little more kind-hearted and want to relocate them, capture them, take them somewhere, relocate them. Be careful about that. I hadn't thought about something in years, and all of a sudden this morning I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I had a church member up at Prospect that lived right behind the food line on 52. And his property backed up to the city park. And he said that people lived over in the, the swankier parts of town, had a squirrel problem. And so they'd catch their squirrels and they'd take them up to the city park and turn them loose. Which meant then he had a squirrel problem because there's a bunch of big oak trees in his backyard. So he would catch those squirrels, and he owned about 50 acres or so up in Rowan County, and he'd take them up there and let them out. Well, one day he's got a cage full of squirrels on the back of his pickup, and he's going up the road, and the game warden stopped him and said, "You can't do that." And so he was, I don't know what it cost him, but he was in big trouble relocating squirrels that somebody else had already relocated to his backyard. But really, there are dangers that we need to deal with. And the Bible teaches that Satan is our danger. The Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's your enemy. He's your enemy as a lost person. He's your enemy as a Christian. Just because you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior doesn't mean that Satan says, "Okay, they're saved now, I'm going to leave them alone." He continues to attack you as long as you live. The Bible talks about wrestling. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, now Satan's wrestling is to the death. We may go to a high school wrestling match and it's over in a little while, or a college wrestling match or an Olympic wrestling match, and it's soon over. But in the New Testament days, many times a wrestling match wasn't over till one of the wrestlers was dead. Satan is out to destroy us. And how are we going to deal with him? Why is it that some Christians seem to do better than others in dealing with the devil? You may know people that you think, they do better than me. Why? Why? Paul, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, gives us an insight. And if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse beginning of verse 3. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're flesh. We're flesh and blood. We're human beings. And Paul says our warfare is not in a fleshly way, but a different way. And what does he say? Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Spiritual warfare and victory begins in your mind. It begins when Satan attacks your mind. And Paul talks about thoughts, imaginations, and high things that exalt themselves against God. Now, it's not as complicated as that sounds in the King James English. Let me give you an illustration. Some guy looks across the street at his next door neighbor or some coworker or some woman he's met at church or some other place, and the devil says, she's better looking than your wife. Well, you're right. She is better looking than my wife. Thoughts come to your mind. Next thing you know, the devil says, she's nicer to you than your wife is. The next thought that comes, I bet if you was married to her, you wouldn't have the fusses that you have with your wife and all the disagreements. And all of a sudden, imaginations are starting to build. Well, in the meantime, the devil's saying the same thing to this woman. He's better looking than your old husband. He makes more money than your husband. He treats you nicer than your husband does. And all of a sudden, it goes from that to an affair. And once he gets to that point, the devil begins to build up a stronghold in their lives. We deserve one another. We deserve to be happy. We're soulmates. And you can't convince them that they're in sin. And that can happen in many, many areas of life. The devil gives us a thought. He keeps adding to that thought and building up our imaginations until he builds a stronghold in our life. It can happen in other areas. For example, somebody says something that just doesn't sit right with you. And the next time you see them at church or at work, they don't really talk to you. And you think, well, who do they think they are? And before you know it, you have a full-blown imagination and anger towards somebody. I've told some of you before, and I know I've used this illustration. I had a guy I found out was mad at me for 7 years because I came out of my office at the church and turned this way, and he was over here, and I didn't speak to him. Well, if I had turned that way and I spoke to him, I just didn't see him. I don't have eyes in the back of my head, but he'd been angry for 7 years because I didn't speak to him. The devil had built up in his mind, and when I finally found out about it, I apologized, and I might as well apologize to that sign on the wall. It didn't go because he had built up a stronghold of anger and hate in his mind. Paul says, we have some mighty weapons to pull down strongholds, and we need to use them. Now, we're going to talk about the weapons in a minute, but go with me to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, because in 5, 6, and 7, Matthew, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus deals with all kinds of places where the devil builds up strongholds. And see if any of these are now in your life, have ever been in your life, and depending on your personality and my personality, the devil will attack us in one way or the other. Matthew 5, verse 21. You've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And then verses 43 of Matthew 5, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them, hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. How many, many, many marriages, family relationships, churches, work relationships, neighborhood situations are destroyed by anger? Somebody says something, somebody does something. Often they don't even realize they've, just like me, not realizing I didn't speak to this guy. And before you know it, the devil keeps coming and coming until anger builds up. Anger builds up and it destroys a relationship. A second one that's there that Jesus mentions is chapter 5, verses 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Unresolved issues. Unresolved issues. I went to a seminar at Locust First Baptist about, 2 months ago now, and they said that only 10% of the men coming out of seminary these days wanted to take a church like Barber's Grove, an old established church. They either wanted to start their own church or go to the mission field. Why don't they want to come to a church like Barber's Grove? They don't want to deal with the unresolved issues that are going on. Now, I don't know that we've got any here, but I can name plenty of churches that have issues going back forever. I was thinking about it this morning. I ought to let Leonard explain it better than me. You remember the Andy Griffith show where the young couple want to get married? And unfortunately, their families have been feuding for generations. And so Andy goes to one guy, says, why are you feuding and shooting at his house? Because he's a, I forgot what the words were, but he's the enemy. So he goes to the other guy and he says, well, why are you shooting? Well, he's the enemy. Well, why are y'all enemies? I don't know. We've just been feuding for, our paws were feuding and our grandpas were feuding. So Andy goes and checks all the records, you know, and he comes back and he says to the two guys, he said, you know, in all those years there's not been a single killing. We got to solve that so that there's a killing to make this feud valid. So, you know, he gets them backed up and they're going to do a duel, and he pops his gun and they go scattered. They'd been feuding forever and nobody knew why. Nobody knew why they'd been feuding forever. Jesus said we need to resolve our issues so that there's healing in the situations. We need to resolve whether it's between brothers and sisters, or whether it's between moms and kids and dads and kids, or whoever, if it's possible. You know, now the scripture says, inasmuch as it's possible, live peacefully with all men. There are people that aren't going to live peaceful with you. And the best you can do is just forgive them and move on. But if possible, we need to reconcile any differences. Jesus mentioned that. Well, the next was 5:27-28. You've heard that it said in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto thee that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That can be an issue. And we've seen enough broken marriages. We've seen enough affairs and all kind of mess that goes on these days to know that Jesus was exactly what he was talking about. Verse 38. You've heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Revenge. You ever hear anybody say, I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I ever do. I'll get even with her if it's the last thing I ever do. And they plot and they scheme. How can I do something worse to them than I feel like they did to me? Now, if the world wants to live with an eye for an eye, that's one thing. But Christians need to learn to forgive and live differently. Well, another one is chapter 6, verse 1. What's our motives? Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. They have their reward. He said, do your alms in secret, that the Father may be glorified. How much of what we do for the Lord are we willing to do in secret with nobody to know? You know, the devil likes to build up our pride, build up a stronghold. I'm better than you. I've got more money than you. And how many people will do something just for the prestige of doing it? I've told a few of you, I visited, it's been about, right about the time COVID started, I visited a guy here in Stanley County and asked him about going to church. He said, well, he didn't go to church anymore, and he named the church he did attend. And he said he came in and sat down about where Leonard was, and he was told, you got to get up and move. He said, so-and-so just gave $30,000 to our church, and that's his seat. You got to be kidding me. The devil had built up a stronghold, both in the church leadership and in this guy that gave the $30,000. You see, the devil likes to do that kind of thing. 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there's neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The devil likes to build up a stronghold of greed. You remember Jesus told the parable of the man who had such a fantastic crop, he filled up all of his barns, and he says, man, I'm going to tear down my barns and build a bigger barn so they can hold it all. He didn't think about widows that were hungry or orphans that needed food or whatever. I'm not saying that you go hungry to feed somebody else. But in James and in 1 John, they say, if you see your brother, your sister that has a need, and you have it in your possession to help them, don't just say, go and be well filled, take care of, God will take care of you. Just help them. Let your faith be evident. So he talks about greed. The devil can build up a stronghold of greed. You ever heard the expression, I don't want all the land in the world. I just want all the land that joins mine. Well, how much joins yours? All the land in the world? How many people are driven by greed? Chapter 6, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one more cubit unto his stature? Why take thou thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, toil not, neither do they spin. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then he says in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat or drink? What shall we clothe? One of the devil's greatest attacks on most of us is fear. Fear of lack, fear of disease. We need to be careful, but you hear about somebody that's got, say, cancer, and you go to the doctor and they say, well, you know, as a new patient, fill out this form, and you say, great grandma had cancer, and I had 2/3 aunts that had cancer. And so the doctor looks at it and said, I see cancer runs in your family. We're going to have to be careful. And before you know it, every time you get a stray bump, I got cancer, I'll be dead before long. The devil will come and he'll say, you'll be dead before long. You'll be dead before long. And all of a sudden, fear. Hey, anybody have trouble finding toilet paper during COVID? Fear. Pure old fear that there wasn't going to be enough toilet paper. Some of us are old enough to remember when there wasn't any toilet paper. Y2K, the power's going off. Computers are going to die. We're going to starve to death or freeze to death or whatever. The devil wants to do his best to install fear. I hadn't thought about it in the context of this sermon, but the Lord just brought it to my mind. I remember when I was in first grade over at the old West Albemarle School. And how ever so often, not only did we have fire drills, we had nuclear bomb drills. And we got under our desk. Now, like that wooden desk going to protect me if the Russians dropped a bomb down on the Wiscasset Mill. And all those little kids, the devil was instilling fear, fear, fear. And he likes to work on you with instilling fear. I won't mention but one more before we get to the solution. Chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. What measure you meet shall be inspired to you again. The devil likes to build up a haughty attitude, a judgmental attitude. Now, be careful. We need to be fruit inspectors. You start looking for a pastor, you need to inspect the fruit of his life. You start thinking about electing a man as a deacon, you need to check the fruit in his life. You start looking for a date or a marriage partner, you better check the fruit in their life. But judgmentalism is something else. It's so easy to get an attitude of, well, look at what they're doing. I was thinking this morning of a lady that I knew. She didn't have bad days. She had a bad life, 24/7, 52 weeks a year. I didn't like her, honestly, till I came to the point where I realized her husband's a jerk. I can't imagine her having to live with him. Her two grown daughters are trouble. Her two brothers are worse than her husband. And then I learned of some things in her earlier days that were tragic. And I thought, well, I'd probably have a worse attitude than she did if I'd had to put up with everything she put up with. And my judgmentalism had to go away. I never said anything to her, but I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for having my attitude toward, and called her name. The devil likes to build up judgmentalism, haughty attitudes. And it all goes back to, like I said in the beginning, the devil puts a thought and another thought, another thought, and it begins to build up imaginations, and then he begins to build a stronghold. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? How do you walk in victory? What did Paul say? Capturing every thought, bringing every thought into captivity. You got to stop it at the beginning. When that devil gives you a thought, whether it's anger, whether it's lust, whether it's greed, whether it's fear, you've got to stop it at the beginning. Grab it right then and deal with it. You say, Ed, I can't stop thinking about it. You can't think about two things at the same time. So I recommend two things, both of them scriptural. One, quote the Bible. I don't know how many hundreds of times over the last 30 years since I've learned this, if I said, God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but the power and love and a sound mind. And right now, Father, this situation, I rebuke the spirit of fear. I know it's not from you, it's from the devil. And Lord, I receive your power and your love and your sound mind. And sometimes I have to say it three or four times, but next thing I know, my fear's gone. Amen. Or, Lord, the devil likes to bring up things that happened a long time ago, you know, so-and-so hurt your feelings. Lord, I forgive them. I forgave them 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and Lord, I still forgive them. The quicker we respond, the better it's going to be. If we grab that idea when it's still just a little idea and deal with it through Scripture, and remember, how did Jesus deal with the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. Satan has no answer to the word of God. And when we plead the blood of Jesus and we use the name of Jesus, Satan has no power. If you're a child of God and you use the name and the blood and the authority that you have as a child of God. Amen. Scripture says, in Revelation, they overcame him by the word of the Lamb and the blood, and they loved not their lives to death. The power is yours and mine on the authority of God's word. And sometimes, if you can't think of a scripture, think of a song. And if you say, well, Ed, I don't have trouble remembering. You got a Bible? You got a hymn book? Devil starts saying, you're not really saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, Ed, you've done something that's so bad you can't be forgiven. Jesus paid it all to him. How much did he pay? All. Well, if Jesus paid it all, it doesn't matter what I did. I'm forgiven. So I sing to the, and when I start singing, not only the people leave, the devil leaves too. And sometimes I don't know whether I'm singing songs that I've heard or songs that I've made up. For the last few weeks, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to the mighty God. Hallelujah to the precious Lamb. Hallelujah to the great I Am. Now, I don't know whether I made that up or that's in somebody's, but I've been singing that to the Lord for weeks now, sometimes 8 or 10 times in the middle of the night. You know, the devil can't deal with it. And Paul says the key to walking in victory, he says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and imaginations. And if you use the weapons of your warfare, you'll find that you walk in much more victory. Sin becomes less and less of a problem. Stress from fear and want and lack and all of those things become less of a stress on your life because God wants you to walk in victory. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. When abundant life is not just, well, sweet by and by when I get to heaven. God wants you to live in an abundant life now, a life of freedom, a life of blessing. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. When he comes in the door with that first thought, grab it, squash it, stomp on it with the word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and the devil goes back out the door. If you'll practice this, you'll be surprised how much more joy there will be and how much more victory there will be in your life. As I have the invitation, if there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ, some other decision that's on your heart, we invite you to come and share with me. If you need to come to the altar and just pray, we invite you to come.
So stand, please.
You and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, give you peace, joy, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. May you walk in victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.